ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hello, welcome everybody to the Scare Blast podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Burton, and today we have with us an actor, an improviser, and podcaster around town. He is known for being one of the duo that hosts the Apartment of Blood movie watching in October. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Griffin Eckstein!
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
All right. That's out of the way. Good.
We watched the movie Cat People.
Yeah, we did.
This movie was so great. It's the 1942 Cat People,
yes.
To clarify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there was a remake later on. Yeah.
Do you like scary movies?
I love scary movies. I host the Apartment of Blood, like you said, with me and my wife Irene, mm-hmm. Which is about like 12 to 14 hours of watching horror movies all day. I used to not like horror movies at all.
Okay.
I have an older brother who's like 10 years older, and he used to watch it. So when I was like 6 and he was 16, he was watching like gory stuff, and I was just like leaving the room. I don't know when it started. Maybe mid-20s or something, where mm-hmm. I got super into it, and I watched as many movies as possible. So now I truly love horror movies.
What attracts you to scary movies now? Like, what is it that keeps you coming back?
I don't even think it's the scare. I think it's the subtext. Like anything, I like sci-fi too. And these are things you can kind of get, like, I like genre things, like genre movies or whatever, but I like when they use it as a conduit to say something larger or express some like inner fear or comment on something. It's the same reason I like comedy. I mean, I love scare. I love to be scared as well, and kind of like clench my seat and my teeth while I'm watching a horror movie. But I think that actually is secondary to like just kind of like watching it and going like, oh my gosh, they're actually saying this, like, you know, like The Fly is about AIDS or whatever, you know, like whatever like big sweeping thing it is, where you're just like, oh wow, this is crazy. You could otherwise not say this in a movie,
right?
But because you're slipping it in with like a spoonful of sugar, which is essentially like frights and like scantily clad people, that you get to say something.
I love that. Yeah, it's almost like, and on the flip side of that, it's almost like you are scaring somebody. If you were to flip it the other way, where it's like you're scaring them, you're making them feel this pretty uncomfortable emotion, or you're winding them up, or whatever it is. And subversively, they have no idea that they're actually like kind of expressing their own fear about AIDS or about this thing or that, whatever it is, or about, you know, terrorism or people that aren't like them or whatever it is that they're cathartically able to sort of express. Out loud. I love that.
Like the classic examples being like Halloween or something like mm-hmm. that, where it's about, oh, it's about high school sexuality, like and the consequences of that.
Totally.
And I think like Scream kind of called it out, which is kind of like, okay, great. It's now commenting on itself, but anytime something starts commenting on itself, it's like, okay, let's close up shop. let's turn that sign. Let's board up the windows. That's essentially why I like that. So I tend to gravitate more towards like mood horror or like atmospheric horror, and I think that's probably why I love this movie, Cat People.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will you please summarize it for us? What is this movie about?
Cat People was an RKA picture that was shot in 1942. It was going up. I think important just to kind of put it in a little context before before I talk about the plot, because this is kind of how the plot happened, which is basically RKO was trying everything. They were a fledgling movie production company, they were throwing money at things, and they threw money at Orson Welles to make Citizen Kane, and that was a big tank a year before Cat People came out. So Universal Horror horror movies were like super big. So like your Draculas, your Wolfmans, and I think Wolfman was like 42 around this time. Cat mm-hmm. People. So they decided on a name for a movie, which was Cat People, and then they gave this producer like, you're making Cat People, assemble a team. He had a budget, so it was like they budgeted and did a Cat People. So they came up with it. He got a writer, and this producer's name was Val Lewton, and he was like an old pulp novelist. He was like a writer who became a producer, which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
So the story is that they came up with him and the screenwriter is the story of Elena, who is from Serbia, newly in America from Serbia. She, like every Serbian young girl, she's a fashion artist. She draws like models and fashion for magazines or for like designing for people. I'm not quite sure it's ever expressed, but she's a fashion illustrator. She meets a guy first scene in the movie. They fall in love. Elena there's something inside of her which she can't express herself physically to her man or anyone really. She thinks she's like a cat person. She'll think she'll turn into a cat person and kill that person. from Serbia, since Serbia is so exotic sounding, the history of Serbia is based on like this king coming in and like slaughtering all these cat people. So she moves here. She's extremely sexually repressed. To the point where she thinks that like if she kisses her husband, he will die. And that's basically what happens. The husband kind of falls out in love with her. She goes and sees a shrink to help these like feelings inside of her, and all the while she visits a panther at the zoo, which is like a key thing that keeps coming back.
I just want to reiterate one more time, like, you did not mishear any of that. That is like that is what this movie is about.
Yeah,
which is crazy for you to say that out loud. To watch it feels like a different experience than that. Because it's this mood, it's that mood thing, it's black and white, but to say that out loud, or the times that I was reading about this movie after I watched it, or the research that I was doing, I was like, this movie plot sounds fucking bonkers, where you're like, what? This woman thinks she's going to turn into a cat and eat her husband like a praying mantis if she has sex with him.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy, yeah.
Across the centuries comes this exciting story of a modern girl cursed by an ancient legend.
Yelena is a cat person.
Yeah, she's straight up a cat person. To put it in context of like other movies of that time, like I said, like the Universal, it was just monsters, right? Yeah. It was like Wolfman changes and you see like five shots of him changing into a wolf, and that's like kind of the sensational thing, right?
Yeah.
And you see him as a wolf most of the movie, right? Yeah. After like once Lon Chaney gets like the Wolfman makeup on, he's gonna be in the Wolfman makeup a lot. Right? And we never really see her change into a panther. We never see her as a change. It's always like insinuated and then the panther's
there. You'll see the panther later. You only ever see the panther twice.
Yeah.
Like you only see her as the panther twice, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like this movie? Is this a movie that you really enjoy?
Yes, I do. I think it's one of those movies where you go, oh, this is where a lot of the modern day stuff comes from, and you watch it. But I think like it doesn't feel like you're doing homework or you're appreciating something. Like I think it's like honestly like a pretty good movie.
Totally.
The scares still hold up. I watched it after like maybe I haven't seen it in like six, seven years.
Yeah.
But like I watched it, I was like, this movie's great. And then it's Irene so good. Was like my wife. Irene, she came into the room and she just started watching it. She's like, this movie's crazy.
It's like, really crazy.
Like, this is so kind of like advanced, and it's that thing where it's like a vibe and kind of like they set up this kind of like feeling. You never see the monster because it's never really. Well, you kind of see the panther jump on a guy once or twice, but you never really see it. It's all insinuated, and it is about like this woman who's sexually repressed, and that's ultimately what it is about. Like,
it's pretty neat. And
she's scared
of
herself. Like she's scared of her own sexuality, and that's like a huge thing. And that's like horror movies in general, like especially now more than ever, it's all about like sexuality, and
totally.
These are like repressions that we're expressing, and in this case she's not expressing
right
and she's like keeping it bottled in.
Again, at like that time in America, this was a great time for that kind of a movie to come out, because it was like nuclear family was after the war, everybody's coming back from World War II. Mm-hmm. This is a time for people to reconnect with their families, have kids, settle down. Now we're about to see this boom in suburbia. Like, this is when people, the baby boomer generation, right? So everybody's like settling down with their families, and people are expected to be housewives and expected to participate in a culture that they maybe don't necessarily want to participate in.
Yeah.
And so I thought this was a really neat and appropriately like almost feminist for 1942 movie.
I think so. Yeah.
Like, if this were made in a different time, again, like, I haven't seen the 1982 version of this.
I saw it a long time ago. It's very sexualized to the point of kind of gratuitous. Like, the girl swimming in the pool, she's topless. Gross. And you're just like, nah, I don't, like, this
I mean,
is not what this is.
I guess I get that.
I mean, this was super budget. They were given the name, the title Cat People, right?
Yeah,
Here's the Cat People and like $100,000, or like it was super low budget for that time. And they were like, so they basically used other people's set, got a French star, and because she cost nothing. And then it launched the career of the director Jacques Tourneur, who's another French guy. But that he did a ton of movies. He did a few other with Val Lewton that are like equally, if not better than the Val Lewton produced maybe like 9 horror movies after this for RKO, because Cat People is such a success. People like, they expected it to be like moderately okay, and make a few thousand dollars on it, and they ended up making a shit ton of money on it, and it played for a really long time. It was a B movie that became an A movie, and took over theaters, and people were going to see. So they made a bunch of movies. There are like Curse of the Cat People, which is like totally different and cool. I Walked with a Zombie, The Seventh Victim. There's other things. Seventh Victim, the doctor comes back. He's not like he's not back, but his character appears in another one of these movies. They made like nine. He made like 9 horror movies. This producer, and they're all similar style. And there's a couple that are actually, I think, better than Cat People. But like Cat People's the one you kind of like. Yeah. I can watch that and like I Walk with a Zombie like a million times, because it does like hold up pretty well.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay. So, out of 10 cane swords.
Okay, sure.
If you're going to give this movie 10 out of 10 cane swords, that means it's the best horror movie you've ever seen.
Okay.
One cane sword would be, of course, no, not very good. How many cane swords?
Okay, using the pitchfork grading of cane swords, I will go, it is like an 8.9.
Yeah,
cane
I'll
sword.
Take it.
Yeah, 8.8. I'm gonna knock him down one. 8.8. I do love it. I think it's cool. The cinematography is great. The editing is great. That was Orson Welles' editor.
Yeah,
cool. Jacques Tourneur directed Wichita, which is like one of the best westerns. And he film noir. He directed Out of the Past. So he went on to make like some of the best movies in the genre. He was very much a genre guy.
Yeah,
and that shows. And all of his movies are very much about like people not knowing themselves or like repressing something inside of themselves. So that's like Out of the Past is a guy who's like done terrible things and comes into this small town. It's like it's very much like keeping your own like who you are like and presenting someone else and like keeping that bottle up. And all of his movies are about that. Most all of his movies. Wyatt Earp, he did a Wyatt Earp movie, which is very like, I'm not a sheriff anymore. Like, I'm keeping that inside. So he did all these cool movies. movie. So I do love this. I really love this movie. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not camp. It's like it's camp because it is a B movie that was made on no budget. But I think it, like any good camp movie, it kind of transcends that.
And do you think that you have to be a horror movie lover to like this movie? Like, do you think just anyone would enjoy this movie?
Yeah. Because it is that kind of like old, if you like old 1940s like romance movies, and it is like a like kind of like a sexual like kind of like romp, not romp, but but just like yeah, it's very, it's definitely like a sexual melodrama,
totally
like sexual thriller more than it is almost like a horror movie. Yeah. I mean, we talk about her turning into a cat person for the last like while, but it is yeah, but it is more, it's played like it's like this woman who's sexually repressed, and then he starts dating another woman, like that's the main thing, because they're not showing any crazy monsters coming in or anything like that.
I loved it. Okay, so I have some trivia.
Cool.
Here we go. Let me see if I can find it in my writing. Okay, you were talking about the cost of this movie.
Yeah.
This movie originally cost $141,659 to make.
Holy guacamole.
Okay. But in the 2 years that it played on and off in the theaters after that, 2 years, that's a long time. How much money do you think it made in that 2 years?
In 42?
In 42. It cost $141,659.
I would guess maybe $2.5-3 million.
Cool. $4 million.
Damn.
It made $4 million in 2 years. That's which is incredible. Yeah, it's incredible. That was a great
that's why movies would play in the same theater forever, right? Like it wouldn't be like a thing where it's like, oh, it's in for no, it'd be like, no, this is the feature.
Yeah, it's a feature. It's in
until forever. People stop going to see it. Yeah. We will be playing this movie. Yeah.
What zoo are they at the beginning of the movie?
Oh, are they in the Central Park Zoo?
They are in the Central Park Zoo. Very good. Another one of my questions was, what is she sketching in the opening scene?
Oh, yeah. You got to get out that. She even has a statue in her house. And that's how she dies. See, they know what they're doing. They're writing.
I know.
They're doing writing things.
Oh, this is also a good one. Okay, so nowadays, it takes 12 to 18 months to complete a movie start to finish.
Yeah.
It takes approximately 8 weeks to shoot a movie.
Yeah.
Okay. How many days did it take to shoot this film?
I'm going to say probably 3 weeks. So what would that be?
Yeah, like 21 like 20, days.
21 days.
That's awesome. You are within days. It is 18 days. It took them 18 days to film this movie.
Holy moly. Yeah. That's crazy.
So on, $140,000, film this movie in 18 days, which is crazy.
That's insane.
So fast. And my other one was the buildup of tension in the movie to a breaking point sets the scene for other films. And that that buildup of tension in the breaking point is called the Luton Bus.
Yes, the Luton Bus.
The Luton Bus.
Yeah, which is crazy because now we always say the director is the person who creates the movie. But this producer kind of had a hand in creating all of these movies. That he is kind of the person they say is the creative force of all these movies, not the director and the writer.
Right, and like you said, he was like a novelist and a poet and all that stuff before he was a producer. Yeah. And he's also from France or Serbia or somewhere. I mean,
yeah, it's Vladimir Luton. His name's Val Luton for short. So he went by his nickname. But he's from he's from a block country or something like that. And so that's where he got that story, that whole story with the serfs and everything.
Ah, cool.
That was kind of like one of the stories he was told as a kid.
Huh.
So right away,
Yeah.
And they say Jaws and stuff is influenced because they don't show the monster. I don't really see the Jaws thing.
Yeah.
Because that was more because they couldn't get the shark to work.
Sure.
So it had to be that. It wasn't like he was going in saying, we're never going to show this thing. But I definitely think a lot of those Italian horror movies of the 60s and 70s were where it's just we have no budget and let's create atmosphere.
Create atmosphere. How else could we do this? Maybe they wouldn't have had those ideas had this movie not been made. That I think is definitely influential in that way.
House of the Devil, have you seen that?
Oh, I have seen that.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. But that's all mood. Yeah, that's just 80s cool walking down the street, listening to my Walkman,
totally.
My cassette Walkman, and it's just it's building up. And then it gets crazy towards the end, but like it's all tension up for all that weird mood and kind of like, oh, I'm a creepy house. You're not seeing anything crazy,
right?
Up until the end.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, Griffin, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming out and talking to me about this movie. High five. Yeah. Griffin, it's October. Mm-hmm. Where can we see you or find you? Are you around? Are you online? Or?
I do improvised Star Trek, and I think we have new episodes every Sunday. You can just look up on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever, improvised Star Trek.
It's such a great podcast.
Thank you. You were on, and you were great. And then I do Carl and the Passions every Wednesday at IO Chicago. That's great. Every Wednesday.
Yeah. Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was hella fun. Yeah, thanks for talking about this old movie that I
love this movie. All right, we'll see you, Griffin.
What is going on? Why are you freaking out?